Welcome to the DC Daily Drop, your one-stop shop for today's important news in DC movies, TV, and comics. Here are your hosts, Tom and Zach.
Welcome to a Saturday, June 3rd edition of the DC Daily Drop. I'm Tom.
And I'm Zach.
And today is our spoiler review of Wonder Woman.
Dumbledore dies. Oh my gosh. Wrong thing.
At least I already said spoiler. So if you have not seen this film, well, you know the drill, guys. If you haven't seen the film, either don't listen to this or don't care about getting spoiled. If you want to check out our non-spoiler review, you can listen to yesterday's episode because that's where we went non-spoilery. But you are spoiler warned starting now. Zach, what have you got?
Well, I don't want to like completely repeat myself from yesterday's episode, but I will say again that this film is absolutely amazing. Beautiful, great action, great characters. I loved Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman Diana Prince, and I loved Chris Pine as Steve Trevor. And I really, really liked the side characters, and we'll talk about it more, but I mean, just this film was hitting on all cylinders. Really, really great.
Absolutely, and I agree with pretty much all of that. I thought it was fantastic. Just a great, great film that is a terrific representation of Wonder Woman, and something like, as a Wonder Woman fan, you and I know how awesome Wonder Woman is.
Right.
Now, like, the world can see that, you know, because you can't just talk to anybody about Wonder Woman comics or Wonder Woman in animation. Now the world can kind of see why we think Wonder Woman is so awesome. And that's what gets me so excited about this film.
Yeah. And they did just a fantastic job with her arc of, you know, they spent a really decent amount of time on Themyscira setting up her training as a kid, and but then having her come to the world of men and meeting humans for the first time, and a lot of humor around not understanding certain ways that things are done. And then just the whole arc of figuring out that, you know, humans are kind of terrible and they do terrible things, but after finding all that out, still loving them and seeing the good in them and being a hero for them. I mean, I thought it was really, really great. And we talked about this yesterday, but this film has so much heart. Really, really inspirational. So a lot more inspirational than most of the other superhero movies I've seen, and more inspirational than a lot of movies I've seen, I think.
Yeah, it's tough to think of a really more inspirational and heartfelt film with such a depth of characters that you care about. Even the characters who weren't really comic book characters, or had very small roles, or the shorter roles that made an impact. I said this yesterday, but, you know, someone like Antiope, Robin Wright's Antiope, is just someone, you know, like, I want to see so much more of her. Unfortunately, we won't. But she just made a lasting impact in, I don't know, just a few minutes of screen time.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely sign up for a full movie of numerous characters in this film, but...
Yeah, and they showed a ton of Themyscira, but they moved through it pretty quick, right?
Right.
Like it seemed like we got to London pretty quick, and partly because I just cherished every second, you know, we saw on that island. It was fantastic. But I guess we should start at the beginning with the new little DC Comics intro. What'd you think of that, Zach?
Green Lantern. Oh man, yeah. That was really cool. Just like kind of bringing comic books to life and showing the little bit of motion, and then that pan out with all of the characters, like that really is DC's. That's their secret weapon, is they have so many good characters.
Yeah, and obviously the Batman, the Superman, and the Wonder Woman that everyone knows, hopefully now. But yeah, so many awesome characters. But I just, that was a real quick thing, but it was a really cool and fun surprise. And I definitely, it seemed like it was inspired by the Justice League and Unlimited animated series credits, but I really want to get a Blu-ray and freeze frame and just try to pick out every character that is in there, because there was so many that seemed to have wings, and I can only think of so many winged characters unless those were parademons flying down to attack. I thought, you know, some Hawk people and stuff like that, but I definitely want to look in detail and know every character that was in that. I don't know if we'll even be able to see it, but because it's very tough to see, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think you said you saw Shazam too. I didn't notice that when it spread out to all the people. I think I was noticing the Hawk people too.
Yeah, I didn't see Shazam, but that's one name that I saw many times online. So what other people saw. So yeah, but yeah, we open up with beautiful Themyscira, get to see young Diana, who was even better than in the trailers. Just a really fun little character that you saw her getting excited about everything. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was the moments from the trailer where she's like, I've already heard this story, is kind of cut and out of context, and in context it's even better. And then especially the part where Hippolyta actually tells her the story, and they do the kind of cool animation with the painting, I thought that was really, really great. Kind of reminiscent of, if you've seen the Harry Potter films, when they do the tale of the three brothers. Yeah. So that, it's really, really cool. It's I think a different way to tell some backstory other than just doing a flashback. And I didn't think about this, but you mentioned before that it's also a cheaper way to do it, because you don't have to film all of this action sequences with a bunch of extras and everything. But I think it's a clever and unique twist on telling a little bit of backstory.
Yeah, it's like a cool way to get some quick exposition that tells a whole bunch of the story in 30 seconds or whatever. That's really tough to do without having like a title scroll thing. You know, it's a creative way to do that and sort of share a bunch of information fast. And that was really cool. I was just trying to look through. That's another thing. I was looking for Easter eggs on that to see if there's like any hints to maybe Darkseid or anything like that, or part of that history lesson. There's nothing that jumped out, but even though it was still cool to see the story of Zeus and Ares and everything like that. That's another thing I was surprised of. They mentioned Ares
right off the bat.
Right away. And he is mentioned consistently throughout the film. That's something I was surprised of, because he was never mentioned in a trailer or anything like that. I thought he would kind of just show up later.
Yeah, because I actually liked the way that they did that a lot, where she thought that Ludendorff was Ares for the longest time. And, you know, obviously, like, we knew, I think if you were following the marketing a lot, and you probably knew that David Thewlis was actually Ares going into the film, but it didn't take away from that, even knowing that fact, because Gal Gadot was so believable in thinking that he was Ares, and so dead set on, you know, if I can find him, I can end the war by killing him. And, you know, to see that heartbreak when that doesn't work, I think she sold it really, really well. And it just worked great. And we can talk more once we move through the film towards the end, but I really loved David Thewlis as Ares.
Yeah. And fortunately, that's something that was spoiled just a few months ago, and just sort of went everywhere, that I don't know, I kind of would have liked to have been surprised.
Yeah.
See if it actually comes off as a surprise, because I think the people who didn't know that were genuinely surprised for the most part. But that just happens. Yeah. I guess to wrap up on Themyscira, we see the awesome beach scene, the beach battle scene, and the Amazons training. That was fantastic. And then, of course, Chris Pine coming on to, you know, showing up on Themyscira. That was hilarious as well. You know, seeing him in the weird hot tub, seeing him with the Lasso of Truth, that was all great.
Yeah, I really loved the way that they used the Lasso of Truth in this film, because that's something that can definitely be tacky and kind of weird. It's like, oh, it's just this rope that you wrap around people and it makes them tell the truth.
Yeah.
But I think they used it really cleverly and put some humor into it, while still, you know, revealing some kind of terrible things.
Yeah, they come back to it later, and it's something that's pretty cool throughout that they see. It's a fun thing throughout. Like, you wouldn't think of the Lasso of Truth as being something cool, but this proves that it can be, and that was really nice to see.
Yeah, so we actually started out by talking about Themyscira, but right before that is actually the present day, where Diana Prince is working at the Louvre, it looks like. And she gets the picture from Bruce Wayne, the one that we saw in BVS, and the one that kind of kicks off this film. And we knew that there was going to be these bookends of present day. And I think I thought they were going to be longer, but I wasn't disappointed that they were short. They were really short. Like, I'd say like 98% of the film is set during World War One, with just the tiny little bit of bookends on either side.
Yeah, I would guess it was probably less than 2 minutes. Combined for that. I think we talked about the other day, like, the Justice League fan of me would have liked to see a little more hint or build up or anything like that, but I'm in retrospect, I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad this is 100% Wonder Woman. This is Wonder Woman's first solo film. This is 100% unquestionably her film. And so the bookends are really just to set up, yeah, we know you've seen her in present day. This is how she started, and now we're back in present day.
Yeah.
So I thought that was handled well. But yeah, Hippolyta and Antiope, just pretty awesome.
Oh yeah.
But then we quickly move to Man's World in London.
Yeah, so the whole boat ride over is hilarious. There's just a lot of funny stuff between Chris Pine and Gal Gadot. A lot of funny moments between them.
Yeah, that's a fantastic, hilarious boat ride.
Yeah, I think that was probably the hardest that our theater laughed was during that scene, and probably the hardest I laughed too.
Yeah. That's where we really start to see the relationship between Steve and Diana, and I just thought that was really handled well. I mean, they really only know each other for a couple days, but you can see why they have feelings for each other. Why Diana would care for Steve and why Steve would care for Diana. It's I thought that was handled well.
Yeah, I thought they did it a really great time. They don't have a lot of time together, but like you said, I think they did an absolutely great job.
Yeah, so in terms of the other supporting characters, the one you were not so pleased about yesterday was Etta Candy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, this is maybe the weakest character in a group of really, really strong characters. And so maybe in a different film, it would have been much better. I think it's just in comparison with how great of a job they did with the other characters. I don't know. It didn't really connect with me. I didn't find myself, it sounds terrible, I didn't find myself caring about her that much. But I think it was still a necessary role, you know, to have her back in the office with David Thewlis and kind of directing them where to go and stuff. And it was some nice comedic relief, you know, like looking for clothes and stuff with Diana. But at the same time, I don't know. She was a little annoying to me, and I just didn't really end up connecting with the character that much.
Yeah, I disagree with you a lot there. I thought she was a lot of fun. It's a small role, so I can maybe understand if she had a larger role, maybe that would wear thin. But I didn't have a problem with her at all in the film. I thought she was fun, and I thought it was kind of necessary to get an example of a woman from another, a typical, quote unquote, typical woman from that time period who wasn't raised on an island.
Yeah.
And that's another thing we haven't even mentioned the fact that this is a female led superhero film, which is awesome. Just that it finally exists on a big budget, but they don't, never once in this film do they force it down your throat that, oh, hey, this is a woman leading the charge. And, they never say, I just love the way they handled that. Like, she's Diana. She's awesome. Here's what happens.
Yeah, there were some like comments and conflict when she's trying to talk to the generals, and she gives a pretty rousing speech to the one general who is a coward, basically. But when she's actually, you know, in the trenches with the people fighting and leading, they don't question at all, because she's a leader, because she goes out and shows them how to do it. She is the first one out to face down the enemy, and she's the first one to help people, even when they say that you shouldn't be helping people. And they follow her because she's a leader, not because it doesn't really matter that she's a woman or a man. So, yeah, like you said, I think they did a really great job of setting her character up to be strong, to be a leader, regardless of her gender. And, yeah, they did a great job with it.
Yeah, she's just an awesome character, and that was really cool to see. I guess we can talk about the other sort of supporting characters, the other members of the team there, Samir, Charlie, and Chief. What did you think of them? The ones
I liked quite a bit more than Etta Candy's role, especially Charlie. I really liked him, and Samir, and Chief. I liked them all. But no, I really loved the bar introduction for Charlie and Samir. Some good humor, really short, gets you to know their character pretty well in a short little period of time. And I think one of the films that I've seen recently that had like a bigger ensemble cast like this is Rogue One, where they had a lot of supporting characters, and they introduced each one of the supporting characters in like a 5-minute scene on a different planet, and there's a bunch of context switches, and you're like, wait, who is this? Where did they come from? Why is that happening? And I think shortening it down and putting it in the same location really helped for this film to introduce these characters quickly and to make you understand and care for them quickly.
Yeah, and I thought, yeah, that was a really good way of handling it. We got it. Like, I remember things about these characters. Normally, the supporting characters, you watch a film once or twice, and you don't really, you're like, I think this one did this, this one, you know, they're kind of forgettable. But these guys were all memorable, and I thought that was really handled well. Even though, you know, wisely, we don't need a ton of backstory on them. We get the basics. This is what they're about. And that's really for basically every character except for Diana. You know, this is Diana's origin only. Here's what you need to know about these other guys for the story. And I thought that was really pretty cool. Even, you know, Steve Trevor, we didn't get flashbacks to young Steve Trevor or anything like that. We didn't need it.
Exactly.
We got, you know, we got the mention of his father. We got a little bit of background on him, just what we needed to know from Diana's perspective.
Yeah. And I really like how they use that little group of other characters during some of the action, especially like the no man's land and the like freeing the town, where they're doing their part while obviously Wonder Woman is doing more because she has powers and is leading the charge, but they never feel unnecessary. They're always there, and they're always actually doing something that is very necessary to the success of Wonder Woman. And so I really liked what they did with them as side characters. They didn't seem superfluous at all.
Yeah, I agree there. And lots of fun moments with them. One thing you mentioned there was Diana's powers. They're left kind of ambiguous throughout the film. I think that is an intentional thing to sort of like, we're discovering what she can do as she's discovering what she can do. I think I would have liked them to have acknowledged that, just to say, like, you're figuring out more. It's kind of mentioned at the end by Ares, but we kind of don't know what she can do. And even at the end of this film, we're still not sure entirely. You know, was she flying at the end there? How strong is she? Why can Ares telepathically throw metal? And
right.
can she do that too? Or, you know, they kind of leave it vague to the general audience. And I think that worked well. Because it was almost like she was getting more powerful as she went, as she took on more and more things and realized what she could do. And I liked how that was handled, but I would have liked something more where they specifically mention it.
Yeah, I think I was okay with it. Not having the specific exposition on her powers and what she can do and can't do and how they're growing and stuff. I think, and they did handle it kind of in a different way than a lot of other movies where, you know, the characters around the superhero are just totally amazed all the time at the powers and saying, how can you do this? This is completely unbelievable. Where in this film, they were okay with it and they just kind of rolled with it. And obviously they were amazed at what she was doing, but they're like, I think it was very accurate to, you know, the war setting that they didn't have time to stop and ask questions. They're just like, well, this is going to help us. So we got to go with it.
Yeah. Like Steve's like, well, we think we're going to die. If she can do these things, whatever, whatever the mission can do. I thought that was handled really well. And obviously I thought that was really cool. We see Diana's how naive she is, and Steve Trevor's just kind of like, yeah, okay. But then as it goes, he becomes more and more convinced in what she's saying, and that made for some humor and some good heart too.
Yeah, and it is nice to see that progression almost like in opposite directions of the characters throughout the film, where, you know, Diana starts out really, really sure about Ares, that all she has to do is kill Ares and everything will be fine. People will stop fighting. Whereas, you know, obviously Chris Pine's character, Steve Trevor doesn't believe in Ares at all, thinks it's nonsense. But as the film goes on, he believes in it because he believes in Wonder Woman and sees what happens. Whereas she ends up, you know, figuring out that Ares really isn't to blame. It's kind of already in humans, even though Ares is involved in some ways. So it's kind of interesting to see those trajectories go in opposite directions, but maybe land in the same place to say that, you know, there is good in humans, but there's also bad in humans, and we're all kind of responsible for what's going on here.
Yeah, and that's something I loved, how they sort of did that, how that's revealed at the end, how it's not just Ares corrupting mankind. It's mankind being kind of crappy on its own. And I thought they did a great job of portraying, you know, the grayness of the war, you know, like even the fire scene when Chief says, you know, Diana asks, who pushed out your people? And, you know, it shows, you know, he says his people, you know, to point that kind of everyone has done something wrong. And, you know, it's not just as simple, even though at the beginning of the film, Steve Trevor says, I'm the good guy, they're the bad guys. You know, we see things aren't so simple. It's not just a good against evil.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the way they did that.
Yeah, so I guess speaking of villains, three real villains here. What did you think of that, them, Zach?
I really, really liked these villains. Dr. Poison is, you know, it's one of those things where it's borderline. It could be almost too cheesy, but I think they handled it very, very well. Probably Ludendorff was cheesier than Dr. Poison at some points, but it was still, you know, it's kind of the default believable general who's just after power.
Yeah.
But obviously, I think they sold it pretty well with him potentially being Ares. And, you know, if I hadn't known going to the film, I think I would have believed that he was Ares. And obviously Wonder Woman does. But then when we actually get to see David Thewlis come out as Ares and just that whole scene at the end, I really, really liked his rendition, especially the really creepy, like she's talking through him through the glass and she goes in and he's gone on the other side. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I think, like I said yesterday, I thought they weren't bad, but I didn't think they elevated. I thought they were all okay, but I thought either I might have preferred maybe if it just ended when Diana killed Ludendorff and Ares didn't even show up and we just found out that kind of mankind was its own worst enemy, or if maybe they had not necessarily combined, but condense somehow those three villains into two just so we got more of them, because Ares, it almost seemed like he was kind of tacked on at the end there. So like the comic book fan of me was excited to see Ares and thought that was cool, but also he didn't really have much to do with the main plot, and it was just like an extra thing for Diana to battle at the end. So I'm kind of torn on what I would have liked to have seen there.
Yeah, I guess I can see that viewpoint kind of. For me, it didn't fall out that way. I think I liked Ares not really being there throughout the whole film and only showing up at the end because it was such a driving force for Wonder Woman searching for Ares, thinking that was the final cure for all, and finding out that it isn't, that, you know, there really is stuff wrong with humans. And, you know, they do the textbook, hey, we should join up and we could rule the world. But he puts a little bit of a nice twist on it where he's, you know, like, we can make the world a peaceful place and beautiful. Whereas normally you see the villain saying we can just rule the world and enslave all these people. So I think it was a more believable kind of sell.
Yeah, that was, there's a few things in here that reminded me of Man of Steel. This was very similar to the Zod, Cal fight where he shows we can make a new world. On some of the dialogue was very similar there. I don't remember the specifics there, but obviously he showed a green, beautiful green land as opposed to a bunch of skulls. And Diana says, I could never stand for something like this. Very similar. I think that's a good point, because Ares is mentioned all the way throughout. It would have been kind of a letdown if he didn't show up. But I almost think that would have been a more interesting twist. You know, the villain is mankind against itself. But I see both points. I didn't mention like how I like how World War One was World War One, and it was like we get there at the very end. Like the armistice is in the works, and this is sort of a side mission. So Diana didn't stop the war on her own, but she stopped this separate side mission, kind of unconnected, and it's on its own thing. And I really liked that.
Yeah, they didn't really rewrite history for this film, which is, like you said, I think they did that in a really good way too.
Right. So to not like take away from, you know, all the people who sacrificed their lives and whose family were lost and everything like that. So I thought that was pretty cool how I really liked how they handled that. I think, you know, it's not that big of a deal. We probably shouldn't get upset about rewriting history, but it's kind of cool if they can do it this way where it's handled that way.
Definitely.
Also, one thing we should mention is the no man's land scene.
Oh my gosh.
From the start of it to the very end in the village.
Yeah,
that was just fantastic. I don't even want to analyze it. Just watch it and enjoy it from start to finish.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. If you've seen it, you know what we're talking about. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's just, yeah, it's some of the best action sequences in any film in recent history.
Not to mention one of the most awesome sort of superhero coming out parties.
Yes.
Like, this is how I'm going to present myself to the world. I like how they kept her. They didn't show the full costume until that moment.
Yep.
And then it's just like several minutes of her just being awesome and just plowing through everything.
Yeah.
And then I guess there's just the final battle with Ares and the story with Steve Trevor taking out the gas. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, I didn't think Steve Trevor was going to make it out of this film alive, and so it wasn't a surprise to see him sacrifice himself, but it was pretty touching, and you know, I really liked his character, and this made me like his character even more. And I think it was believable within the arc of the character in this film. And so, yeah, I really liked how that kind of side little mission was going on when she was fighting Ares. And like I said before, it still gave something for those side characters to do that was believable and real and important, I should say. So, yeah, I really liked what they did with the ending. And then I liked the way that Ares looked and the kind of building his armor out of all of the metal around in the fight he did, and you know, setting up the choice with Dr. Poison with Wonder Woman and trying to convince her to kill her and everything. And so I really liked the way the film ended.
Ares looked a lot better than I thought, and he wasn't like entirely a CGI monster. I kind of don't like when thing, you know, the villain sort of looks entirely different at the end to become a monster. At least we got to see a little bit of David Thewlis's face and we got to see his voice throughout, so I liked that. Pretty cool, interesting scene. But the sacrifice by Steve Trevor, very touching moment, and really kind of sucked to see that, you know, they don't get a happy ending exactly. But they like he said, you know, he saved the day and she saved the world.
Yep.
Well, I'm sure there's a ton we're forgetting. You know, we could talk about this for a long time, but is there anything else that really sticks out before we go, Zach?
I can't think of any specific moments really that stick out that we haven't talked about, but just overall, just an absolutely amazing introduction to this character, just a solid superhero movie, regardless of what is going on. But the fact that this is the origin film for one of the greatest, most favorite comic book heroes of all time. I don't know. They hit it out of the park.
Yeah, we'll see where it lands in the history books, but I think it did some things better than any superhero movie before it. You know, we'll see when we get more perspective where to rank it, but I absolutely love the film and couldn't ask for a better debut from Wonder Woman. It had pretty much anything I could want in a film, so it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is all we have for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow sort of analyzing the box office and critical performance and everything like that, and sort of the impact of the film from other people's point of view, not from ours. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back then.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out DC Daily Drop on Twitter, Facebook, and DCDailyDrop.com. Drop by tomorrow for more DC news.